Support for the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast comes from Wolf's Ridge Brewing, a family-owned Columbus brewery and restaurant, offering home beer delivery and curbside food pickup Tuesday through Sunday. More at wolfsridgebrewing.com.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. You cannot pay rent or support a mortgage without a job, and that's the challenge nearly half of Ohioans recently surveyed said they face. The poll, commissioned by Ohio Realtors in partnership with the National Association of Realtors, provides a pretty bleak reality check of the housing market, with 7 out of 10 respondents rating the economy as fair or poor. In Central Ohio, the real estate outlook is more of a mixed bag, with record low interest rates driving swift home sales and a construction boom. And we're back with our real estate roundtable to talk about that and so much more. Todd Helpbringer, president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. Welcome back, Todd.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you.
And Rob Vogt, real estate analyst at Vogt Strategic Insights. Welcome back, Rob.
Thank you, Ann.
And Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and the CIMAC Group. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Hi, Ann.
Cynthia, the survey was conducted in June, just released. Most of the respondents rate the economy as fair or poor, as I said, and a number struggled to pay rent or a mortgage. What else stood out for you?
I feel like the people that were responding in here may not be actively in the real estate market. So I think it's more a future of
exactly.
things to come
yeah.
versus currently, if you're in the market, you're having to fight for homes. If you're in the market and you have your house on the market, you're in pretty good shape. So the people that are actually participating in the market are having favorable outcomes.
Right. The future, Rob Vogt, that's what I got out of that, too, that is, you know, as we know, there is a tsunami coming. And I'm thinking of all these folks who are struggling now to pay their rent, struggling now, and those among them who are struggling to pay their mortgage, but especially rent, that does not bode well for the future because their credit scores are going to be bad.
No, that's right, Ann. And I think that's been one of the big discussion points going forward is what will be the actual effect of the economy on people's ability to pay rent and pay their mortgage payments. I think that one of the things that we might lose sight of is, though, that when you start to look at the real numbers, they're not as devastating as one might think. I was just taking a look at some of the unemployment numbers recently for Franklin County. You know, we're down below 10%. At the height of our economic success, we were, you know, around a 4 or 5% unemployment rate. So when you're talking about 5 percentage point, it's really not that big a number. So I think the reality and the difference between reality and what's going on is people's perception on what is going to happen. And I think that's the thing we have to be careful about. We still have the ability to pay our rent. We still have the ability to pay the mortgage payment. But what we think is going to happen to us might be really not as bad as what reality is dictating.
What do you think, Todd Helpbringer?
No, I tend to agree with both comments that what I'm seeing right now is, again, I hate to say it, we're kind of insulated a little bit here.
Yeah.
We've done well. And again, I think it helped with the ability to have that extra $600 every week. So there is a concern what happens now that this is the first week that it, or the second week it will not be happening. What will the trickle-down effect be? But I hate to say this, I feel like Franklin County, we're in a little bit of a bubble here. And it's as Cynthia mm-hmm. mentioned, home sales are strong and people are bidding up the values and interest rates are low. So it's a good time.
And
right
I'd also like to point out that unlike 2009 and 10, people actually have money in their houses. The market is going up. Home prices are up 4 to 6% from last year. And so if somebody does find themselves in a position of needing to sell, chances are they put more money down than someone might have in 05 or 06, and their house has appreciated quite a bit.
So they'll do well by that if they have to do that.
Right. If they have to make a decision to change their housing needs based on a job or based on a financial choice, they should be pretty good.
I saw a recent report about savings that it's at an all-time high in the United States. And I was kind of wondering about your thoughts about that, Todd Helpbringer. Apparently, it's partly a function of that extra $600 a week that people have been getting.
Yeah, 100% correct. And that's what we've made some reports at the bank about that also, is that that $600 people are saving it, which was just fantastic that they are saving it. But I think part of that was supposed to go back into the economy, but people are, rather than doing that, are just putting in their savings account for not knowing what will happen in the future. So I respect that. I get it.
Yeah, right. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are talking about real estate, and really we never talk about real estate on this show without talking about finances, too, because it's what it's all about. That's Todd Heltbringer. He's president of Heltbringer Mortgage Services. Also with us, Rob Vogt, real estate analyst with Vogt Strategic Insights, and Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and the CIMAC Group. If you have a question or comment about real estate, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Rob Vogt, last time we talked in May, you said homeowners were taking a wait-and-see approach. Where do things stand now? I mean, are we still in that holding pattern?
I don't think so, Ann. I seem to sense that we have a lot of folks who now feel confident that in spite of what's going on with COVID-19, that it's not going to be here forever, that eventually there'll be a vaccine created to eliminate the problem. And I think there's a lot of confidence among particularly well-off households that the future looks very bright. And you commented about we've talked about how well the economy is doing. The stock market continues to do very well. So I think that there's a lot of confidence among folks to make the decision to go ahead and move. And as Todd will talk about, the fact that we have record low interest rates at this point just seems to point out how much of a opportunity there is to either buy an existing house or new house. And as Cynthia has pointed out, the existing house market is so competitive that a lot of folks are turning to new houses. So I think we've also seen reports from some of the home builders that are having one of their best years ever, which is just so fascinating when you think about what we've been through.
Yeah, well, I mean, and how different this downturn is from 2008, right, Cynthia, when it comes to the housing market?
Oh, for sure. And I also think for the new home builders, some of the objections typically have been, I don't want to move that far out. I'm doing an air quotes. And with the flexible, more people working from home, that doesn't seem to be as big of an objection as it has been in the past. So if you're going to telecommute, if you're living in,
that's right,
you know, 20 miles outside the city, it's not as much as it was before.
And you think that's going to stick?
I think in some way, shape, or form it will stick, because I think employers are figuring out that some of their employees like to work from home and are as or more productive.
Which brings us to the commercial real estate market, Rob Vogt.
Yeah, and I think that's really in an upheaval right now, and especially with so many restaurants that are closing, retail stores that are closing, going bankrupt, it's going to have a dramatic effect on commercial real estate going forward. And I think we're going to see some plans for new commercial development put on hold until people can figure out exactly what's going to go on with the retail and commercial markets. So, from that standpoint, it's going to be kind of a downer, I think, for owners of commercial property to try to figure out what's going to happen in the future and obviously how it dictates office uses going forward. You know, we're not going to need as much office space, so do we need all of these new offices that are being proposed? So I think there's going to be some dramatic changes in the commercial market as we go forward.
Let's talk about that. Home prices up 7.4% through the first 5 months of the year, Cynthia, compared with the same period a year earlier. Is that, I just want to be clear, that's a function of demand, right?
Correct. Okay. Supply and demand. We are down as much as 30% of inventory, which is why resale inventory, which is also why people are headed to new homes. Currently, we have about 1 month of supply. So if nothing else came on the market today or for the next month, we would be out of homes to sell in a month. So prices do go up. Buyers are bidding the houses up right now.
If a house isn't selling in a month, is that because it's probably overpriced?
It could be, or it could be that it's specific, a house that doesn't appeal to many.
Something unusual, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit unusual.
Cynthia, this is Rob.
But usually it is.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, is that then driving folks to take a look at new houses that, that you're working with? Or are they saying that, geez, we can't find what we really want, so let's look at a brand new house? And that is some of the some of the things that are driving the big demand for new housing.
Correct. And like I pointed out before, you know, we've got a couple in contract on a new build that I think 2 years ago never would have thought about it because they were commuting every day. And now that reality is switching.
Right.
So they're more open to a newer home. And the housing market can be so swift. If you are working, a house comes on the market on Thursday. If it's gone by Saturday, you don't have much time to go see it. Where a new build, they've got the models open and you can go back a couple times. You can go pick your lot. So there is a lot of benefit to have that time to process.
One of the issues we talked about with new builds, though, is that they can't make them in a starter home range, Rob Vogt, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Ann. And we've talked in the past about how expensive it is to develop the land, put the infrastructure in place, meet all the zoning requirements. And that's driven up the price of new housing quite considerably. So, and that's frankly one of the reasons why many of the home builders have gone in the custom direction, in that that they can earn a much higher profit level at a $700,000 or $800,000 house than they can at an entry level house. So there's a variety of things that are kind of working against the entry level market that will probably constrict that supply quite a bit going forward.
What have you seen, Cynthia, on that score?
Well, you know, first time home buyers that have been in the market for over a year are seeing the affordability disappear, you know, in terms of if you used to be looking in, say, Clintonville up to 250, that's just gotten almost impossible. So some of our buyers are on hold and they're going to wait it out a little bit, maybe renew their lease and hope things quiet down next year. Others just simply can't afford it anymore. So I do think affordable housing in the Columbus area anyway is getting difficult.
And that makes me wonder, Todd Helbringer, if you and the folks in your business are seeing more people maybe reaching a little bit more than they should be, or maybe they would have been 10 years ago.
You know, I don't see that as much. I think that was a product of maybe, you know, 30 years, 20 years ago, that everyone wanted to have this bigger house and stretch a little bit. I see the newer home buyers really wanting an experience in life versus that bigger house. And so I back to Cynthia's point, I have a lot of clients that really don't want to get into bidding wars and don't want to. So a lot of them are on the sidelines waiting to see if we'd get more product on the market.
I get what you're saying about going for a smaller house, but if the smaller houses aren't there and the new builds aren't smaller, what are their options? You're saying stay on the sidelines?
Well, a lot of them, I think, are staying on the sidelines just to see when product comes on the market. That's the thing, as Cynthia said, we have one month of supply left. And that's what's problem with driving these home prices up, is that, again, bidding wars happen almost every transaction.
Correct.
Cynthia, are you seeing...
And I do think the pandemic is also limiting people's experience. So their travel budget is not as much as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people, a lot of buyers change what they're looking for based on they need more space now. They need a home office. They need a school room. They need a place for college kids to bounce back to. So somebody that was maybe looking last year, what they were looking for has dramatically changed this year.
Boy, times changed fast this time around, I'll tell you. It's just been a lot of change. We will continue to have our conversation about real estate. We're interested in what listeners think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guests, Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and Simat Group, Rob Vogt, real estate analyst with Vogt Strategic Insights, and Todd Helbringer, president of Helbringer Mortgage Services. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast comes from Wolf's Ridge Brewing, a family-owned Columbus brewery and restaurant, offering home beer delivery and curbside food pickup Tuesday through Sunday. More at wolfsridgebrewing.com.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Central Ohio real estate market and the financial realities levied by the COVID-19 pandemic and the concurrent economic downturn such as it is. Still with us, Todd Helpbringer, president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services, Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and the CIMAC Group, and Rob Vogt, a real estate analyst at Vogt Strategic Insights. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Todd Helpbringer, you said in May that the mortgage application process required triple checking to make sure applicants were still employed with no change in pay. Is that still the case?
Yes. Yeah, we have plenty of guidelines because of the COVID. They actually sign a document at closing that they are not aware of any future layoffs, any pay deductions, et cetera. So lenders are really making sure that we know the exact position the client is in before, you know, extending credit, if you will. And back to the comment of Franklin County and how maybe insulated we are a little bit. Mm-hmm. Of the volume that we've done since the pandemic, we've only had one client that unfortunately she lost her position the week of closing. Everybody else has kind of been very, very fortunate, and it's kind of been business as usual. And I say with these historically low rates, a lot of people are taking advantage of it and refinancing and also doing the purchases right now. So very good time.
You know, Todd, and that's sort of why I say it's kind of the perception versus what reality is. You know, again, if we have a 10% unemployment rate, that's really not that many folks that don't have a job. Now, I'm not minimizing the fact that folks, there are the folks out there that are struggling that don't have a job, but frankly, 90% of us still have a job and are getting our regular wages.
Correct. Yeah, it's, as I say, we've not seen that at all. So again, I say we've been very, very fortunate.
Let's see, Alan in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Alan. Hello, Alan. Nope, Alan went away. Okay. Nick and Powell, you're on the air. Hi, Nick.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I had a question regarding a real estate purchase. I put house on the market a few months ago. I mean, we looked at some homes and several of them, as soon as we put a bid on, in 24 hours, we were outbid and was sold to someone else. So we kind of inherited, purchased one at the full asking price. Then we put our house on the market, and both places are in the very good area. And what happened is that we got, in the first week, we got an offer for our house. And then they went through the inspection and all that. Then all of a sudden, we met all the remedies that they requested. Mm-hmm. The buyer decided to back off the deal for some reason. And then, so we had to put the market back in, the house back in the market. And then this happened two times. In other words, there were three contracts, and all of them, they backed off their obligation.
People getting skittish, yeah.
Exactly. And then now we are having two house payments because we purchased the other one, and now the other one is, this one is also in our hand. And we also contacted a lawyer regarding the third contract. The guy came and he sent his inspectors. The house was checked and everything. We met the remedies that they requested. Then he, without any notice or anything, they just backed off the deal, and we haven't even got that earnest money from them. We couldn't get it. So I was just wondering if any of your guests can have any tips, can help us
to protect him. Cynthia McKenzie, what can someone in his position do?
It you know, without knowing all the specifics, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little feedback on the line.
Okay.
It's, you know, the Ohio purchase contract is pretty buyer friendly. And I do think talking to an attorney and your own realtor is the best bet.
Just there could be a lot of different things in play with something like this.
Correct.
What about the wisdom of
so frustrating?
Yeah. This is a function, though, of feeling like you have to go for that and put that offer in yourself on the next house. because of the bidding wars and that kind of a thing, and then not having contingencies, not having...
Well, I do think there is a lot of, you know, initial buyer remorse in terms of, you know, you don't have time to make a decision.
Yeah.
A lot of times you have to make a very snap, quick decision, and that's not how everybody operates. So three times, though, sounds like very bad luck, Nick. I haven't had that with any of my experiences, but I do think when someone puts a house on the market now, and they might put it on Thursday, have showings through Sunday, highest and best by Monday, I actually think that's a good thing because it gives the buyer an opportunity to come back and take a second look at the house before deciding what they want to offer.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting.
Anything to slow down the process is good.
Right. Nick, thanks a lot for that call, and good luck with that. That sounds really frustrating. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are talking about real estate in the age of a pandemic. These house showings, I don't know how they're even working, Cynthia. You know, usually in the summer in my neighborhood, there's hardly ever any houses on for sale in the neighborhood. But when there are, you know, there's open houses. There are no open houses anymore.
Well, actually, some realtors are starting to hold open houses.
Okay.
I think they are having people hand sanitize before they walk in, wear masks, keeping the amount of people in. But if you put your house on the market and you do not want an open house, the way showings work now is there's only one set of clients per half hour or per hour.
Mm-hmm.
The realtors will make sure everyone's wearing a mask and shoes are off or shoe covers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually kind of a nice experience to show your buyers houses now because there's nobody else in the house. Whereas as early as March, you could have five people in an hour on a quote unquote private showing. So right now it's definitely a little bit of a challenge when you're scheduling multiple houses for your buyers to see, because if somebody already has that time slot, you can't go show it at that time.
Well, and it means that you don't have a lot of people just gawking at your house who aren't really in the market.
No. A looky-loos might be dissipating.
let's see. Alan, you're on the air. Hi, Alan.
Okay, I'm back. Three things that I heard on NPR in the last 2 days that don't bode well for the national economy 6 to 12 months from now. The first one, as of August 10th, 30% of the mortgage holders had not paid their mortgage. The second item was bankruptcies are up 27% from the same time last year. And the third comment that somebody made was if a small business closes their doors for 25 days, they are more than likely out of business, period.
Right. So you're thinking, looking forward, you're seeing...
There's going to be a lot of foreclosures in the next 6 to 12 months, which can turn the tide around totally.
Todd Helpbringer?
I do think that's going to happen. I do agree with some of those comments. I still go back to the nationwide, hopefully, we get more people back to work, and hopefully the vaccine comes out. But I do understand that, yeah, if you're closed down on a small business for 25 days, you probably, unfortunately, will not make it. I think that's going to happen to a lot of folks, unfortunately.
You know, the vaccine thing is so nebulous right now. Even if there is a vaccine by next summer, whether they can scale up and get it to beat enough people to make a difference and get us back to normal, highly unlikely for many months after that. It just takes time.
I just think hearing that there is a vaccination out there, I hope that gives some people the sugar pill and we just get through this.
I haven't heard about a vaccine yet, but yeah. I know there's a lot of people working on one, and I don't. Yeah. I'm not counting on Russia at this point, but
I just think getting have something out there. I think it lift the spirits, give us some hope.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, Rob.
Yeah, I think one of the things to point out here too, and I think the caller really did identify some serious issues that we're faced with, but I think it really points to the bifurcation of upper income households versus lower income and very low income households, and what a significant problem we have with very low income households that are living on the very edge, and the fact that they aren't getting the kind of unemployment benefits that they did even a month ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by, you know, 30% probably represents a significant share of the very low income households that are homeowners that have a house payment. So I think the caller is right that these are trends that we have to keep an eye on. But when we're talking about folks with the higher incomes and can have a good job and can buy a house, it's not as a significant of an issue. So I just bring this up as really to point out the real bifurcation that we've got among the kind of the economic strata among all the households that are here in Central Ohio and across the nation.
Whereas 10 years ago, it was across the board.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It affected all income levels. Absolutely.
Right.
And the weird thing about 10 years ago, it was self-inflicted. We did all this to ourselves, all that lending that was so horrific. You know, this virus was of no cause of us.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Came across. Yeah, it was so, what we did to ourselves back 10 years ago was just amazing.
As a nation, right.
Yeah.
Alan,
right.
Thanks for that call. Yes, Cindy?
And back to the, you know, people have more money in their houses now than they did in 9 and 10.
Yeah.
So that some people that would have gone bankrupt and lost their house in 2010, in 2020, they can draw from their house a little bit for a cushion.
Cynthia, are you seeing a similar number of cash buyers at this time? Has that number changed over the past 6 or 8 months?
You know, we are similar to more cash buyers. And I'd have to actually run the number to prove myself right or wrong, but in my world, it's been very similar to more. And honestly, some of it has been some, you know, we have a buyer currently who, you know, just chooses to do cash because they don't want to go through the lending. But Todd, you can tell us what the rates are. It's very tempting, even if you do have the cash.
Right, because it's like free money practically right now.
Correct. Yeah.
Lending is your friend.
But some people, so we're going to have that. We have this big wave of baby boomers, though, that are selling their houses, and the next house they buy is the last house they'll buy, and they don't want to go into debt over it, right?
Yes.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, they would love to, you know, sell their house that they raised the kids in, per se, and then pay cash for the next house. And another thing I've seen is a lot of people that have two homes selling the extra home, per se, in Ohio and moving to Florida, moving to Arizona, you know, kind of consolidating down to one home.
I see. So they have a vacation type home and that kind of a thing. And just get
right.
It down
or looking forward to winter and not being able to be outside as much. If they're in Arizona or Florida, at least they can be outside.
Okay. So let me think here. I accidentally pushed the wrong number. Mark in Mount Sterling, you're on the air. Hi, Mark. Can you turn down your radio?
It's not up.
That okay. Might... It sounds weird. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have it on speakerphone. Is that okay or no?
It should be okay, but it might be better to get on regular phone.
Okay. Well, you let me know.
Okay.
This is a little off subject of what you were talking about. My question is has it been trending? I just wonder, I can remember where sweat equity, like a young couple would buy a fixer-upper. And does it seem like that's going the way of rehabbers? Here, let me take this off speaker.
Mark, we're losing you.
Okay, I got it off speaker now.
Okay.
My question was, is it trending towards professional rehabbers and flippers that are into that, have flooded that market where, like an average young couple that wants to go into a home, you know, and do the sweat equity thing, fix it up?
I've not seen a lot of sweat equity options here, and the rehabbers.
We are getting feedback. Are you there, Cynthia?
I am.
Okay.
So, yeah. There are the people that want to do a gut renovation, so buy low and a house that needs a lot of work, typically are buying cash, putting the money in, and turning them around very quickly.
Yeah, so, I 100% agree with Cynthia. That the other way of doing it where you do some sweat equity is so challenging because it depends on what that condition the property is in. On a financing side, if the property is deemed, you know, quote, not livable, we wouldn't provide financing. So it's tough to find that. So I do agree. You'd have to be almost a cash buyer.
You know, it's also kind of a generational issue, guys, that you know, we don't quite see as many millennials rolling up their sleeves, grabbing a hammer to make a repair to their house. It just isn't happening. That, at least before coronavirus, it was more fun to go out and meet your friends for lunch on a Saturday afternoon than it would be to, you know, repair the gutters or clean the windows or whatever they have to do to maintain a house. So we're not seeing quite as many millennials embracing the idea of doing the sweat equity simply because they're not interested or may not have the skills to do that.
Huh. And also with money so cheap, if you can find something already done, mm-hmm. it's not going to cost you that much more than, you know, buying something and then putting $50,000 into it.
Those home selling shows on HGTV, sometimes my head explodes. with the first time buyers and what they expect. But you've talked about that a lot, Rob, that, you know, they're living in these really nice rentals and they can't step away from that.
That's right. That's right. That developers have put together a product that competes extremely well with the things that you see on, or compares well to the things you see on HGTV. So it's tough to get some of the renters out. But, you know, that kind of led me to a question I had for Cynthia. Is, are you beginning to see some of the more upscale renters wanting to take a look at a single-family house because of the space that it offers versus kind of a cramped studio or one-bedroom apartment?
I think so. And also, you know, the interest rates, again, are mm-hmm. so intriguing. And I think, even though they keep going down, the typical buyer consumer is thinking it's not going to last forever.
Right.
Todd, is there anything on the horizon that's going to tell us that interest rates will rise anytime soon? I mean, is this going to go on for a while?
Yeah, I've got an email from Margaret in Lewis Center who's asking the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, also so hard to predict, just like the market would be, but as a comparison right now, you know, a 30-year is trading right around 2 5/8.
Oh,
and again, in regards to history, that's incredible.
It's crazy.
You know, I don't see rates going up, you know, when I say going up, maybe more than 0.5% over the next 12 to 24 months. I've said for many years, too many positive things happen when rates are competitive. I don't think they need to be at, you know, 2 5/8, but when rates are under 4%, so much happens to the economy. You want to slow down the economy, raise rates to 7 or 8%, because the housing markets touch so many different parts of the big boxes and everything else. It is amazing. I mean, the thing that I know the consumer would not be concerned about, I always do this because I've been doing this for so long, is like, what's going to happen if these loans are deemed underwater? What I mean by that, if rates do shoot up to 5 or 6%, all these rates will be non-performing, meaning the banks and or the government that's holding this paper, will we have a bigger problem on our hands? And again, I know the consumer wants the best interest rate, but there's always that tipping point where it becomes almost too low and the government can't make any money here.
Mm-hmm. Are they doing a lot of variable rates still then? Are you looking at a lot of variable rates?
Not at all. I mean, again, if you're under 3, you can lock this up for 30 years. And even if someone offered mm-hmm. you a 5-year ARM at 2, I just think most people don't want to take that gamble. Mm-hmm. They just be unsure of what's going to happen, et cetera. I've not done an adjustable rate. I don't know when the last time it was. Now, the commercial side.
How much refi are you doing?
Tons.
I mean, refinancing, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's a 7-day-week situation. Again, very, very fortunate. But it's very good. You know, what has not happened, which I thought would take place more, is cash out refinances. Even though people have tons of equity because of the values going up, most clients are not taking cash out. You know, that was one of the things that they did many, many, many years ago, took as much equity out as they can and did other things with the house. Most people are just not doing that and just getting the better interest rate.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you think that just has to go along with this savings ethics that's emerged?
Yeah, I think their house feels comfortable for them. They're going to save a couple $100 a month on the payment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always wondered, and maybe Cynthia has some insight on this, that are fewer people going to move and are more people just going to update their current homes? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have a bunch of product on the market.
If they can afford to when in retirement, I mean, a lot of people have to sell when they go into retirement because they aren't going to have the income to support a mortgage.
Yeah. A lot of the people at that age have paid the debt down so much.
Unless they've paid it down, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of them come up from a different cloth, you know, back 30 years ago. So they really have got the debts under control. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as much.
I don't want to interrupt you, but we need to take a break. So we'll get back to it in just a sec. That's Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and the SIMAC Group, and also Rob Vogt, real estate analyst with Vogt Strategic Insights, and Todd Helpbringer, president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the real estate market and the financial realities levied by the pandemic and the resulting economic insecurity that a lot of people feel. But in Central Ohio, things are more of a mixed bag. As my guest, Rob Vogt, real estate analyst at Vogt Strategic Insights, made the point is it's very bifurcated between low-income people on that end of the scale versus middle to upper income with secure financial future. Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and SIMAC Group, is also with us. And Todd Helpbringer, president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Cynthia McKenzie, I'm wondering, you know, you said that they are starting to have open houses more, things are starting to open up more. When I talk to people in the real estate business, it's so amazing that it really didn't seem to affect the bottom line for you guys.
You know, I think we were very fortunate because we, meaning realtors and builders, my contractors are back to the point that you had before about people adding on, Rob, or fixing up their house. My contractors were a little worried when it first hit, but they've never been busier. So I do think as people spend more time in their homes, they're starting to invest more in their homes, whether they move or stay put. But real estate was able to pretty much continue on with some minor changes.
Nate asks what will happen to the housing in condos downtown? What will happen with demand given the pandemic? Rob Vogt, we've been talking about that trend toward downtown living for years now, and that's just taken a big hit.
Well, it has and it hasn't. You know, we continue to do, as we've talked about, the economy has done fairly well. We're still creating some jobs. We're still drawing kind of young millennials into the center part of our city who are interested in downtown living. We have not seen, at least our firm has not seen, a mass exodus from downtown amongst renters. The bigger issue that we have is that we've had so many apartment projects that were under construction before the pandemic started that these units are now being released in the marketplace. So we've got a couple thousand new units that have just been released, and I think we've got a few anxious developers who are concerned about how those are going to get occupied. So the important thing is that our aggregate absorption of apartments has still remained fairly strong downtown. As I said, we have not seen a decline in that, but we've had a release of a large amount of product that is going to drive up the vacancy rates downtown and will provide some opportunities for some rent specials. So if somebody's looking to rent an apartment downtown, I think they could probably get a pretty good deal right now, just because of the number of new units that need to be filled there. And that was one of the reasons I was asking Cynthia the question about whether or not she's seen apartment renters now making a decision to become homeowners because they want the more space and they want to spread out and so forth and so on. Interestingly, some of the national firms that advertise apartments have not seen that kind of exodus from urban areas. And the same is true for Columbus. We just haven't seen it yet, Ann. I think it still needs to shake itself out on what's going to happen in terms of that. But if we get through this fairly quickly, I don't think the downtown market is going to be affected as drastically as we might think.
Hmm. Okay.
And, you know, also, if there was more inventory single-family homes to buy, perhaps they would.
Hmm. I see. Okay. Because the price is right when it comes to the interest rates, but the stock isn't there.
And also back to if this happens again, this virus situation, people want to have some distance from each other.
Yeah.
Those people living in apartments, they were just landlocked, basically.
Let's see. Barbara in Delaware, you're on the air. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Hi. I understand from the conversation this morning that you typically have more buyers than sellers, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
But I happen to be a for sale by owner seller, and I've been contacted by probably 30 realtors, but nobody has buyers. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, why are the realtors contacting you then? Because they want to represent
you? They want to represent me, yeah. But they don't have any buyers. But that's not what the market is. It doesn't make any sense.
Cynthia, come on now. I find that hard to believe. I think maybe they're telling her that, right?
Well, it does, you know, we've helped people buy for sale by owners. So that does exist in the marketplace. Without knowing your particulars, which wouldn't be appropriate on,
right, of course,
the radio, of course, the market still operates. So that sounds, I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. We have a email from Mallory who says, I bought a house with my husband over a year ago now. We basically got the loan through U.S. Bank, but I was hoping to refinance and get it with our local credit union this summer and get a better interest rate. Unfortunately, my husband got laid off right before the pandemic due to outsourcing. Do you think we could still try to do this, or should we tough it out and wait until he goes back to work full time? Todd Helpbringer?
Well, you definitely can try. It would be the bigger picture of, you know, her income. Is it enough to support the obligation? That would be the thing to try. You know, you could still do the loan just in her name, have the title in joint, and see if that would work. But, you know, better try now than wait, because who knows how long the rates will be this low.
Okay. I'm wondering, you know, we talked about the bubble, and sometimes bubbles burst. And I'm wondering, Todd Helpbringer, you talked about that. I think you mentioned the bubble early on in the program in Central Ohio. Are houses what they're worth? I mean, are they selling for what they're worth, or are we in a bubble that could burst?
Well, I don't think there's enough volume out there, enough closings to get a bubble that's going to burst.
Okay.
Meaning if there was 1,500 closings a day, you know, and you're rising, these prices are going up, that's deems to be a problem, but with so few product on there, you'll have several one-offs where you'll have maybe the price was bid up $10,000 or $15,000, but I don't think there's enough out there to cause a bubble.
Cynthia, I was talking to a real estate agent the other day who said that they had a buyer willing to offer $10,000 or $20,000 over the asking price. Of course, there was a bidding war. It came out, they lost. Someone who offered $50,000 over the asking price won the bid. It was a house in Clintonville. What in the world? How could it possibly be worth $50,000 more than what it was, basically what it's appraised at, is what I'm figuring.
Well, you want to go ahead?
You know,
I have a comment about that too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, let's say the buyers out there, the realtors out there are constantly learning. And some of what the buyers, sellers, and everyone is learning that if you price a house where it should be priced or a little bit low, you're going to get that energy that drives the price up. And not only drives the price up, but will get you favorable conditions like buying as is or waiving the appraisal contingency or cash. So sometimes a house is priced on the lower side, and that buyer that maybe has seen so much says, that is worth $50,000 more.
Okay.
Whereas the first time you make an offer on that house, let's say the house was priced at 325 and really is a 375 house,
mm-hmm.
the market will fix that, right? And if they priced it at 425, chances are nobody would offer on it because they'd be like, wow, that 425 wants 425 or 435. And those are really broad examples. But you, the buyers out there that have made four and five offers, they know what that house is worth to them. And it does get very difficult when you go into the world of appraisal, as Todd can talk about.
Yeah. Todd Helpbringer?
Yeah, 100%. So the gentleman or lady that bid up $50,000, they had to have in their mind that there's going to be a shortfall. If they didn't pay, if they paid cash, no big deal. But if they financed, basically it's going to be the purchase price or the appraised value. The lesser of the two is the start point. So again, if the value is 300, they paid 350 for it, the down payment starts at 300 and they still have to make up the spread of the $50,000. So again, somebody that's that far away is just laced with cash.
Okay.
Because the bank's not going to give
a loan on something that's not valued properly.
Has to be supported.
Got
correct.
It. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're in such a period of, there's so many things we don't know. Going forward into this next year. And I'm wondering, because I know I'll be talking to you guys again probably in later fall. What are you looking for, Rob Vogt? What's directing you right now? What are you worried about, I guess?
Big picture.
Yeah, big picture.
Well, first of all, I think it's worth pointing out that demand in Central Ohio continues to exceed the supply. We're not building enough housing for all the households that want to be here, or we don't have enough choices, frankly, for the people who want to be here. So, you know, we're still not meeting the demand for housing in Central Ohio. And what concerns me the greatest is really the lowest income households in Central Ohio, that all of our surveys are showing government subsidized properties, tax credit properties, low-income properties, are all fully occupied with lengthy waiting lists. We can't find a vacancy anywhere. And I think that's going to be the real critical housing discussion as we go forward is what are we going to do for these folks, especially in light of the fact that many aren't going to be able to make rent payments. And I know we've kind of talked more about on the market rate side in terms of conventional for-sale housing, but the reality is what makes I'm most concerned about is what's going to happen in the next 6 months with low-income households and where they're going to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Cynthia McKenzie?
You know, I'm going to go a little shorter term. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with colleges and elementary, middle, and high all going back, not going back, and how that affects the real estate market. Currently, we are so busy, and people that want to make a move are making moves. I think once school starts, college starts, even if it's online, will people take, was that it? Are we going back to the 50s where everyone moved in the summer? So that's my short term, you know, will the virus make a resurgence during the school opening or not?
Todd Helper?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is maybe a little bit with what Rob is thinking about is that my concern is also the $600 that's bled off and how will that affect. So another part of what I do is commercial financing. Mm-hmm. What will effect that have on my clients that own commercial buildings, et cetera? That's always on the back of my mind. You know, I hope, you know, so far I don't have any of my clients that have said, oh my gosh, people aren't paying rent. They've all been very, very fortunate. Going back to our first part of the conversation that Franklin County may be in a little bit of a insulated area.
Mm-hmm.
I think long-term, maybe over 6 months to a year, I think interest rates are still going to be fantastic. Refinancing will slow up eventually because you'll have that wave when everyone does it. And then you'll have some one-offs, but hopefully there'll be more homes going on the market and it will continue.
Well, Todd Helpbringer, president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services, thanks for your time as always. I appreciate it.
Great, Ann. Thank you very much.
And Cynthia McKenzie, realtor with Keller Williams Capital Partners and the SIMAC Group. Cynthia, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ann.
And Rob Vogt, real estate analyst with Vogt Strategic Insights. Rob, really appreciate your time. Thanks for it.
You're welcome.
And listeners, thanks for your calls. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.